are in a time of war. Not only spiritually, but physically. The United States is at war. The world is at war. You know, I'm going to share something with you which is really powerful, and it may sound strange, but every nation in the world is at war. There isn't one nation in this country that's at peace. In other words, there's world war. There's war through the whole world right now. And I want to share something else that may change your hearts and where we're at and what's going on. There can never be peace on this earth until the Prince of Peace comes. Never. Until the Prince of Peace sets his feet on Mount Olive and the things will change. But in the meantime, there is war. And what God is looking for is intercessors. It's a time of intercession for Israel, for Jerusalem, for the Jewish people. They are the apple of his eye. Not that you aren't, you are also. What you see going on in Israel is the time clock of God's prophecies and fulfillment of his return. Everything that you see going on over there is a manifestation of the things in the spirit realm. Is everybody with me? I want to share a couple of things with you today just so we can get a little update on what's happening. Would you turn to Matthew 24? Starting at verse 1, would you read it with me? Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to him, "Do you not see all these things?" In other words, don't you see yet? Of course, they couldn't see. "Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." He was talking about Israel. "Now, as he sat on Mount Olives," now where did I just tell you where he's going to return to? Mount Olives. "He's sitting on Mount Olives, and the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" We talked a little bit about this Saturday in our morning meeting. Now, the end of this age, the word age here means the age of grace. The age of grace. When is the age of grace going to come to an end? What's the signs of the end of the age of grace? Now, the word grace, first of all, is a representation of holding back God's judgment. The other part of grace is the favor of God. And the other part, there's a threefold of God's grace. Holding back God's judgment, favor, and co-labor. Holding back God's judgment, favor, and co-labor. Is everybody with me? So we are in the age of grace. We are not in the age of Aquarius or Aquaria, whatever. That's witchcraft. We are in the age of grace. Amen? It's amazing what the devil puts around. And people suck up to it. Yeah, that's it. We are in the age of grace. That's why Jesus, who came in the fullness of grace. Amen? Now, mercy is God's consideration of me and you. God's grace is his plan in action. Has everybody got it? So we are in the age of grace because his plan of redemption is in the age of grace. His plan is coming manifest for each and every one. It's available to all mankind. Anyone who chooses to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and serve him. So they said, what's the sign of your coming and the end of the age of grace? And in verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Take heed that no one deceives you.'" Now what's Satan's greatest weapon? Deception. And what's his power? Fear. Now look at what's going on in the world. I mean, there are so many things popping up. I mean, there's more religions and doctrines that move people away from the truth. The Bible also says that before Jesus returns, there'll be the what? Great falling away. Amen. We've got a wonderful teaching called End Time Delusions and the Falling Away. And we see that there's going to be much deception. He says, listen, take heed that you don't get deceived. That's why it's so important about fellowship, isn't it? The Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there is safety and wisdom. One of the things the devil tries to do is get people out of a fellowship, try to bring them, make them a lone ranger. And boy, are they a lone ranger. And then he deceives them. Eventually he uses them, but it isn't for the right thing. Amen? It says, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And I've shared already that there are many even right now that believe that they are the Christ. They actually believe that they're God's chosen Savior. I mean, even the guy, the president of Syria believes that. Or Iran, one of those guys. Farrakhan believes he's a Savior. There are many right now who are coming up stating that they are the Savior of a nation, of a race, even of the world. It's just plumb crazy because there's only one. Is everybody with me? And it's also talking about many, even, and it says, and saying that I am the Christ and will deceive many, he says, right? And will deceive many. I am the Christ. Now he also talks about, you know, even believers. There are those who are believers that have been deceived. And they're teaching deception also. That's why you must have a relationship with the Spirit of the living God to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know, think about how many doctrines we were brought up with. All the foolishness of religiosity. I mean, this isn't just a one-time event. This is a continuous event. Jesus was speaking right from them. He's saying, look, right from there, all the way to his return. He's saying, look, just think about all the foolishness that we've been brought. You know, the Bible says, if anybody brings to you, preaches to you another Jesus, which many do, it's a Jesus that brings bondage, not freedom. It's a Jesus that brings people under the law instead of into the Spirit. There's a difference. So there are many. He says, many will come in my name and will deceive many. And you will hear of what? Verse 6, read it with me. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So listen, we must go through wars, and there's many rumors of wars, even more wars. I'm telling you, this is very wild, but something has occurred already. I mean, we are actually, if you look at it, the world is at war. The world is at war. Now, because we sit comfortably here, we don't see what's really going on, except for on the news or whatever. But I'm telling you, if you're in some of these other nations where your children are being killed and so forth, you're being separated from your families and all kinds of things are happening, you would know the pains of what they go through. But I'm telling you, you could know the pains by getting in the Spirit of what's going on over there. Because in the Spirit, you are omnipresent. Amen? Does everybody understand that? Why? Because the Lord can take you anywhere He wants you to by getting in the Spirit. Anywhere He wants you to. It says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be what? Famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. Are there famines? Are there pestilence? Are there earthquakes? In fact, I was watching on the news that a volcano just popped off somewhere. I forgot where it was. It's very dangerous. And I don't remember. They said it could devastate many, many people. It started small eruptions. They said if it continues strong the way they expect it to, it's going to destroy much of the country. I'm telling you, things are getting closer and closer. It's wild what's going on. The effects of certain things can affect the whole country. You know, one nuclear blast can affect the whole country. Amen? One enormous eruption of a volcano can affect a whole country. Not only an enormous volcano. One eruption from a volcano can affect a country. Now, they know that there's one in, what do you call it? Yellowstone? And that whole thing is nothing but a volcano. That thing goes off. That thing's going to affect the whole world. So there are many things that God is bringing to the surface that he's getting our attention. He's getting our attention. He's saying, be prepared. That's why the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is seeking whom he can devour. Well, how does the first thing he devour you? By deception. That's the first way he comes and devours you, is by deception. He brings you to you. Amen. He brings you to you. I mean, you're your worst enemy. And verse 8, would you read it with me? And these are the what? Beginning of sorrows. So we just see, he just gave us a sign of the beginning of sorrows. Now we've been in the beginning of sorrows for a while. It's the beginning of sorrows. And it says, then they will deliver you up to what? Tribulation. And kill you. In other words, the world is going to want to kill you. Is that happening right now? Yes. Look at the world. The whole world is actually turning against Israel and United States. The whole world. Even those that were our allies are now stepping back from us. The only reason why some of them have had to step in is because we support them by trade. We're coming to an era of total destruction. Does everybody understand that? See, the enemy wants all mankind to be dead. He wants to cause wars and everything else. But what you see in the natural is happening in the spiritual. Now, what's the devil come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. We're coming into an era where total destruction is at a reach. Is it going to happen? God won't allow it. He won't allow it. There will never be total destruction until he chooses to do it to fulfill his service. And that's at the end. But not at the end of the age of grace. We will have a new world, but not yet. Everything will become brand new, but it's not time yet. See, first of all, the world must be purged of sin. So judgment must come. The Bible says that judgment first comes to the house of God. That's why there's a lot of things that God is bringing you through right now. Before he can judge the world, he will judge me and you. So there are things that he's cleaning up in our life. There are things that we're still holding on to that cause us to go back into the world. There are things that the world, you know, the Bible tells us about how the seed was stolen, right? Man, he got caught up in the ways of the world and entangled in affairs of the world. They couldn't leave their families and so forth to become servants of the Lord because of all the cares of the world. He says, but they're going to deliver you up to tribulation and want to kill you or kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. You are hated because of Jesus' name. And then many will be what? Offended. Will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many because lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. There should be more division in the body of Christ than you've ever seen. And it's happening already. That's why we're praying for unity in the body. But he who endures to the end will be what? And this gospel, the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now, let me share something with you, very important. The gospel is being preached in all the world. There isn't too many places the gospel has not been reached. It's happening. Is everybody with me? It is happening. We are in the beginning of sorrows. Now look at, go to verse 21. It talks about tribulation. This is the next event. For then there will be what? That's great tribulation. I'm sorry. So it says that we will go from the beginning of sorrows to tribulation, verse 9. So verse 8 said, okay, these are the beginning of sorrows, and then you're going to go to tribulation. And in verse 21 it says, and for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall ever be. Okay, so we know that there's three events. There's beginning of sorrows, tribulation, and great tribulation. Now I want to go to verse 32. He says something very important. Now, Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives, and he's talking to his disciples here. And he says, now, I want you to learn something. I want you to learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. In other words, last days. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. He's saying, learn the parable of fig tree. The fig tree represents Israel. The fig tree is symbolic to Israel. Now go to Matthew 21. In verse 18, now in the morning as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves and said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered and died. Now listen, this fig tree was because it wasn't producing fruit. He saw the hypocrisy of Israel and they missed the visitation of God. And he said, that's it. I'm going to curse this tree. It was a representation. See, the fig tree represented Israel. I'm not going to go to a big teaching about the fig tree. He rebuked that fig tree because of its hypocrisy and the missing of the visitation of the Lord. In other words, just like what he said when he was talking to his disciples, there won't be one stone overturned. In other words, Israel is going to go through much tribulation. Israel go through. Why is it going to go through? Because it missed the visitation of the Lord. Does everybody understand that? Israel missed the visit. That's why Jesus wept. You missed. If you would have known, he kept telling them. He wept and cried because they missed the his visitation. What was his visitation for? To rescue. To rescue. But they rejected him, didn't they? Amen? Now go to Genesis 32. Verse 22. Genesis 32. This is where Jacob begins to wrestle with God. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Then when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but what? Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. So we're going to see that the end of the result of Israel will be they will prevail. No matter what, they're going to prevail. No matter what seems, how, whatever, it doesn't matter if the whole world comes against Israel, they will prevail. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he had crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. It was a remembrance. Amen. So here we see that this is called Jacob's trouble. All right. Now I'm gonna share a couple things about Jacob's trouble, but we'll get there. Remember, God wrestled with Jacob, and then he said, change your name to what? Israel. In other words, Jacob was kind of like a deceiver. Jacob, first of all, he did a few things. You know, even in his mother's womb, there was a fight going on between him and Esau. And it was for the birthright. And Esau came out totally first, and then Jacob. But Jacob was actually the one that was supposed to been the heir. So during the time of Jacob, you know, he kind of like Esau came home one day and he was hungry. And so Jacob said, and Esau was saying, "Hey man, give me some of that porridge. No. Give me some of that flesh." And Jacob said, "No." And Esau was begging him, "Come on, give me some of that food. I want to feed my flesh." And Jacob used wisdom. He said, "Okay, you want to do it? I'll feed you." He said, "But give me your birthright." You know how many people sell their birthright for fulfillment of the flesh? Whew. So Esau agreed. And Esau lost his birthright over to Jacob. Now, of course, we see that Jacob went through trials and tribulations in his life, and we'll go to them in a couple minutes. Now, Joseph was one of the sons of Jacob. Now, everybody knows what happened to Joseph, right? Remember, he was sold by his brothers? But, you know, think about this, because Joseph was put into a place of slavery, in jail and everything else, but God was protecting him all the way through to get him in position so to become ruler of Egypt, right? Because he knew that his people were going to fall in the trials because of the famine that was going to hit the earth. And he wanted to make sure that his people got fed. So he prepared, he made a way. Joseph was a savior, like a prophetic impartation to the natural realm of a Christ that would come. Now, what had happened here is as Joseph became older and the Jews who moved into Egypt and so forth, and they became more prosperous and whatever, and then Pharaoh died, who Joseph was, you know, tight with, and the other guy took over. Well, he became jealous of the Jews because they were prospering. So he began to remove things from them. And he began to come against them. In fact, Joseph died and they went into slavery. And it was 400 years of slavery for the Jews. That was one of the parts of Jacob's trouble, wasn't it? Into slavery. But God sent a redeemer, Moses. Now this all started because Jacob was wrestling with God. Now, this is because the Jews being rebellious, the Jews not fulfilling what God had asked them to do. Let me share with you sometimes, you don't realize sometimes what you're going through. And you could be touching the unclean thing or doing something that you don't even realize, and you may think it's God and it's not God. And we all reap what we sow, don't we? Oh, hallelujah. One of the things that, if you look at this, this is where the anti-Semitism actually began. Right there. Because when the Jews went into slavery, a name was brought forth to them. The world began to hate the Jew. One of the great signs of the Lord's return is anti-Semitism will come back again. If you recall when in Russia, the Berlin Wall came down and so forth, and we saw many walls coming down so that the gospel could be reached and preached in many nations, especially in the communist nations. And as we began to preach and reach many individuals, now the Jews were beginning to return home. And the Bible says in the latter days that God will return those who are captive back to their homeland. And that's happening even now. And it's been happening for years. In fact, it's a wonderful thing to be able to support and bring home Jews. Our ministry has brought home many Jews from Russia, put them on planes, and brought them to Israel. Amen. So those of you who tithe, you're a part of it. Praise God. But we see that there's an anti-Semitism that aroused right in that period of time with Joseph. And we see even right now, look at what happened in the Holocaust. Amen? And I'm going to share a couple other things with you about that. Now, I want to go to Zechariah 12, starting at verse 1. Zechariah 12. Oh, hallelujah. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundations of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I'll make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all the nations on the earth are gathered against it. In that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in the Lord of the hosts, their God. And that day I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pan in a wood pile and like a fierce, a fiery torch in the sheaves. They shall devour all the surrounding peoples on the right hand and on the left, but Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, Jerusalem. The Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. And that day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Now that's pretty powerful. Now let me share something with you. God chastens Israel. He's the one that chastens them, and he does it by many ways, wars, whatever. That's still happening. But he's the one that's also going to rescue them. Because the Bible says the Lord chastens those he what? He loves. So, and he says, unless there is chastening in our life, we are not sons or daughters. So every one of us in this room has come through chastening in some way, one or another. But I want you to see something very important. It says that every nation that comes against Jerusalem will be destroyed. Won't it? Oh, hallelujah. Now go to Jeremiah 30, starting at verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in the book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. Verse 3. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah. Is that happening? Yes, it is. Says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. You know, I want to share something with you. Palestine was the place where they were actually inhabited. Palestine was actually the place that we know as Israel now. But Palestine was actually where the fig tree was that Jesus cursed. See, Palestine was not, it wasn't like the Palestine we know now. Palestine was a part of Israel. It was the place where milk and honey was supposed to be. It was a place where the rain was supposed to be and everything. But then things changed. So that's why Palestine is actually supposed to be the land of Israel. Does everybody understand that? There's a whole story about the Palestinians, but I'm not going to go there. He said, now, verse 4, now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard of a voice trembling, of fear and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins, like a woman in labor? What are they doing? They're travailing. Amen. And all faces turn pale. What are they doing? They're interceding. They're travailing. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of what? Jacob's troubles. Everybody with me? But he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Therefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of your captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you, though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you. Yet I will not make a complete end of you, but I will correct you in justice, and will not let you go altogether unpunished. So understand that even Israel is going through correction right now. Does everybody understand it? God corrects Israel. Now, there are some goofy things that they have done and their leaders have done. They've given up some land that they shouldn't have. That's why some of the recourse is happening right now. They have forsaken their own word and God, what God has promised them. They should have never given up the Gaza Strip nor given up Palestine and all the other stuff. There are things that they should have not done, but because they've done it, wars broke out. But it was inevitable. Inevitable. War eventually had to break out. The Bible says that there will be rumors of wars and wars. That's a part of the beginning of sorrows. But I'm telling you something, when Israel begins in war, in this arena where we're at, it's very possible that there will be no return. It's very possible. Right now, there will be no return. It's very, very possible that this is going to escalate to world war. Is everybody with me? It's very, very possible. Now, the Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Israel, doesn't it? Amen? But like I said, the only reason why we're praying for the peace of Israel is because we want the Prince of Peace to come back. Amen? He will come back. So we have Jacob's trouble. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I want to share a couple of quick things. We talked about Jacob's trouble with Esau when he sold his birthright. We talked about Jacob's trouble because Israel, remember, Jacob was changed his name to Israel, and then the Jews were in bondage for 400 years. Then there was Jacob's trouble in the Holocaust. Now, Jacob went to serve Laban, and he had two daughters. And the one he was promised to marry, he got tricked on. Well, he was reaping what he sowed. Does everybody understand it? Why? Because he tricked his father into having his father bless him. The blessing, because Esau was all hairy. And so his father was blind, right? So his father felt his way, and his mother, Jacob's mother, she wanted the fulfillment of the, she knew who the right one was to receive the inheritance. That's that motherly instinct, you know. So she told Jacob, she goes, come on, man, go put some fur on your arms and stuff. And go shave a sheep out there. And get some Elmer's glue and, you know. So he went to his dad, and his dad felt his arms, oh, this must be you, Esau. And he blessed him. But it was actually Jacob. So Jacob deceived his dad. So, now, Jacob goes to serve Laban because now it's time to get married and so forth and carry the promises. Not only that, Esau wanted to kill him, so it was time for Jacob to boogie. So he goes to Laban, and the daughter that Laban promised him, he said, listen, you make a covenant with me for 7 years, and you can marry that one. So Jacob served him 7 years. Now remember, Jacob represents Israel. So Jacob was uncovenant to serve for 7 years. This was a part of Jacob's trouble. So he goes to get married that night, and she's got a veil over her and whatever, and he wakes up the next morning and goes, whoa, what's this in my bed? This is the wrong girl. So he goes back to Laban and says, man, you deceived me. Hello. You reap what you sow, you know. So he said, listen, I'll make a deal with you. Behind door number two. No. He says, okay, I'll let you marry her. I really will this time. But you got to serve me 7 more years. So this was a part of Jacob's trouble in the Old Testament. Now listen. The Holocaust was a fulfillment of Jacob's trouble. 7 years the Jews were killed. Millions of them. The second part of Jacob's trouble is beginning. There'll be 7 years. 7 years. Remember, they'll come in. There'll be 7 years of tribulation. 7 years. There'll be actually 3.5 years of great tribulation. But there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. It's written in the book of Revelation. But there'll be a treaty that will be signed, and the Antichrist will come in and he'll convince individuals because of all the wars and everything that's going on. See, I really believe that this is beginning now, an escalation where things are going to escalate in a great and mighty way, because we know right now, listen, I got an email from a friend of mine that lives in Jerusalem. And before anything was on the news, he shared with me, he says, please pray for us. He said, because we've got to hit Lebanon. I'm thinking, what do you got to hit Lebanon for? And he explained it all to me, why they got to hit Lebanon. Because, first of all, the Lebanese people, the government, is actually not ruling their nation. They're overtaken by Hezbollah. Now, who supports Hezbollah? Iran and Syria. Well, who supports Iran and Syria? Russia. See, so Russia this whole time, and I'm going to go into a couple other places here. Russia this whole time is saying peace, peace. But they're liars, because Russia's agenda is to rule the world. Is everybody with me? That's Russia's agenda. Okay. When I was first saved, I was, after my encounter with the Lord, I was about the first week. I was taken in the Spirit, and I've shared this dream before. And I was on a bridge. And the bridge was busted. I mean, and there was a river flowing underneath this bridge. It was a big bridge. There was like 3 lanes on both sides, or 2 lanes on both sides. And it was broken off, and cars were falling off. And I'm looking at this bridge, and I'm thinking, man, what's going on? All of a sudden, this huge waves comes out of the river. And it comes and comes, and it comes up to the bridge. And it takes only me. And I'm on top of this wave. I mean, we're going up. Now I'm beginning to taste the clouds in my mouth. I'm going up, up, up. I'm taking somewhere. The next thing I know, it's bringing me down, and my stomach is starting to, because it's like on those roller coasters, My stomach's starting to go, whoa. And I had a little fear because we were so high, and I began to see that he was letting me down in an ocean. And as I began to get closer and closer to the ocean, I saw a stainless steel pipeline. And I realized it was Alaskan pipeline, or some pipeline connecting Alaska to United States. And then I began to see a submarine in between. And it was a black submarine. Now, I used to, when I was in the military, I'd been on submarines. And I was working for a computer company one time, and I went on a submarine to repair a computer. Anyways, it looked just like that one. And I was also in the Navy and so forth. So I got to see a lot of subs. But there was a submarine there, and I landed right next to it, but when I landed in the water, it wasn't over my head. And there's this huge sub there. And I was like, oh, well, where do I go? And he said, walk over here. And I walked over there, and I realized it was the United States. And when I got up on the land of the United States, I noticed that it was inhabited. I mean, it wasn't inhabited. I couldn't find anybody. And the homes that were there, I was looking for someone, and I went to get into a home, and did you ever see those little locks on the suitcase? I mean, they're not worth a poop. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you gotta write those things off, you know? And I'm like, man, what is this? So he said, take it off. And I tore it off. And he said, that's the security of this country. I thought, wow. Now I realized then, because Clinton was in office, and he won the second term. When he won the second term, I realized what state the nation was in. Now, first of all, I'd never been in any kind of politics in my life, nor am I into politics. I'm into truth. And that's what it's about, truth. It's not about politics. And I realized then, and the Lord shared with me that the purpose and the pawn of this man in office was to disarm this country spiritually and militarily. And he succeeded in it. But we're back on the rise. We're back on the rise. And when I saw the Russian sub there, I thought, wow, what's going on? And a few weeks later, whatever it was, somebody had shared with me that Perry Stone, everybody heard of Perry Stone? That he had his father had a visitation from an angel of the Lord and explained to him about Russian subs and so forth at the United States and whatever. So the Lord said to me, go there and see him. Well, he was coming into the land to do a service. And I'm thinking, how am I going to see this guy? I mean, these guys are, you know, well-known, they're busy and so forth. So Mom and I go there, we pull up in the driveway, I'm looking for a place to park, and here I look, and here he is, standing right next to my door. I rolled down my window, I said, yo, Perry, I said, I got to see you. He says, after service. So I got to see him after service, and he gave me the whole testimony of everything about his father and everything about the visitation he had from the angel. We talked about Russia, because see, when I saw that sub and realized, now when I had that dream, when I was taken in the spirit of that dream, do you remember when the Russian sub came up in Key West? It started on fire. It was loaded with nuclear missiles. The United States freaked because they didn't know how did the sub get there. But it started on fire. And it had to surface. Or this place would have gone, you'd have had some fireworks. So anyways, he began to explain to me about the Russian subs that are out. He began to explain to me about how that as children, they're sent over and families have been brought up as Americans, but their actual purpose is to bring down the United States. I mean, generations of families that are here in birth and their whole purpose is to bring down the United States. They are willing to give their lives to destroy this country. And they are placed all over this country. And he began to explain to me about how the angel of the Lord, now the angel of the Lord told Perry's father all of this and he recorded it all. And he shared with him that many of the Russian fishing freighters that are out there and the subs would come underneath them and they would exchange crews and they'd have to swim 30 feet underneath the water to exchange crews. But they were all over and that they've been here for a while. And when all of these things began to happen, and then I met another brother, David Taylor, who had the same vision and insight. In other words, God was just giving confirmation. And everything I began to see Russia do, then I realized was nothing but deception all the time. All the time. Now, see, I never knew anything about this until it was revealed by the Spirit of the Lord. So we are in a state right now where Israel has just bombed Lebanon. Okay. Syria and Iran support Hezbollah. They are running, they are ruling Palestine. Israel has come to the point now where they said they're not quitting until that's destroyed. That means it's going to spread. I'm sharing with you people, most likely, I can't give you an absolute, we will go into world war. Now, the Bible says that we will escape the wrath of God. Does everybody understand that? Listen, nobody knows the exact time or whatever, but we will escape the wrath of God on what's going on. Now, is everybody okay? Welcome to Sunday morning. We got to know the truth, right? God wants to prepare us, man. Why? Because you're to be telling people what's going on. They don't understand it. They just think, well, things are happening. Things are going to be peaceful. Come on, let's go out and buy a new car and do this. No, man, it's not time for that anymore. It's time to get serious and get sanctified. It's time. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I'm going to bring it to a few other scriptures. Go to Zechariah 14. I just really believe that this is important for us to know. Start at verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city will be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on what? Mount of Olives. Now we know that this event is coming, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it towards the south. Then you shall what? Flee through my mountain valley. God is going to actually split the Mount of Olives for his people to make a way of escape. Boy, is that going to blow their enemies' mind? That wasn't planned in their tactics, was it? Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azal. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus says the Lord my God will come, and all the saints, what? With you. Now check that out. See, that's when we're coming too. But God is going to make a way. Oh, hallelujah. And it shall come to pass in that day that there will be what? No light. The light shall diminish. It shall be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night. But at evening time it shall happen that it will be light. So he's saying this is going to happen when it's dark out. Now wait a minute. How come it's dark in one part of the world and it's light in another? How is that going to happen? Because it's going to be dark all over the world. He will make it dark all over the world. And he will come and it will be light all over the world. Now listen. I'm going to go to Joel 2. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. Read it with me. Now this scripture in verse 28 and 29 is the church age. It's a representation of the age of grace. And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. Well, I'm sharing with you again. When I had my encounter with the Lord, I was taken in the spirit for days. In fact, almost 2 weeks. Every time I would go to sleep at night, I would be taken for something. God would reveal something to me. Some of the things I remember, some of the things I didn't. And then it came to pass later that, oh, then I remember, and it could be 10 years later. Well, one of the things, and I shared this testimony before about the motorcycle. When I was in the world, I used to have antique limousine services. I was in the drug world. I used to stash money all over the place and whatever. And I had this dream that my wife and I were in the back room, which is the war room right now, and there were bunk beds all over, and there was little children in there. And I went into one of the limousines to pull out a stack of money, which is always stacked in thousands, little stackers of thousands, and I came in with a stack of money, and it was to get some stuff, and for some reason I was supposed to buy a motorcycle, and I didn't understand why. So I began to pull the money out for the motorcycle, and I said, well, okay, this is for the bike, and then this is for this, and whatever, and all the kids were around, and there were people there helping, and all of a sudden, the people that were there helping, their whole countenance turned. There was about four people. And they had these dark things underneath their eyes. And they had a squiggly black knife. And they began to walk like almost in slow motion towards the children to kill them. And I looked and I'm thinking, man, what is this? And I'm thinking, how can I rescue all these children? And I began to move very fast. And I would get in front of the children. And as this person was trying to stab one of the children, I would take that person's knife, turn it around, and stab them. Then we'd go out a double set of doors, and Satan was standing on the other side slicing their throats because they failed their mission, and he was piling them up. The next thing I know, I mean, I went and I killed a couple of them, and the next thing I know, the room started spinning and spinning, and I was concerned about the children, and all of a sudden, I mean, it was spinning, and then all of a sudden, this light ripped through. I mean, this was no normal light. This light ripped through and blinded everything. And when I looked, all the children were asleep in bed. And then this noise went boom. And I woke up. I ran to the window. I said, did you hear that? I said, oh, man, I'm telling you, I was there. And it was so real to me. So I didn't fully understand the dream. But I knew it was the Lord's return. 13 years later, the Lord says to me, now you gotta understand, I didn't remember all this. 13 years later, the Lord says to me, I want you to get a bike. And I'm thinking, a bike? Of course, I struggled with that for about 2 months because I kept thinking it was a devil. I kept saying, no. And every once in a while, come on, I want you to get a bike. I'm thinking, I said, you want me to get a bike? And then I mentioned it to my wife. She says, yes, I agree with it. And somebody else walked in and says, yes, I'll put $1,000 on it. I'm like, praise God, it must be rude. So I began to look on the internet for used Harleys. And the Lord said, no used Harley. I want a witness bike. I'm thinking, what's a witness bike? So I started flicking the stations one night, and me and the Lord were sitting there having some cereal. He likes cereal. And I'm flicking the station. Here comes Orange Chopper, whatever. Orange County Chopper. And all of a sudden, I got a quickening in my spirit. That's it. I'm thinking, what? I rolled back to it. I said, you want something like that? He says, I want a witness bike. I want something where people's eyes will turn, and when they turn, they see my name. And I said, all right. So I began to search and whatever in certain places. And I mean, I didn't know what was what. And then I called Jimmy Gretsch. And then he, because he knows about bikes, and he directed me to this one place. I went in there and I looked in there. I said, whoa, these are cool. Right side drive, 6-speed transmission. I said, whoa, this is happening over here. How much? And the guy gave me a quote. I said, yeah, right. And I left. And I looked around trying to find it, thinking about how I can build my own. Yeah, right, it'd take me 10 years to do that. And the Lord said, go back there. I went back there. And I said, hey, he said, listen, we were thinking about you. I said, yeah, what's up? He goes, we want to give you a pastor's discount, and we're going to sell you the first kit. In other words, they're going to give me all the parts and pieces. Almost half price of what it normally goes. I said, cool. So we ended up getting it, and I had somebody else assemble it, and then so forth. And as it began to happen, all of a sudden fear came on me. And it wasn't fear of the devil. It was reverence. And I said, and the Lord said, do you remember? I said, what? He said, this was my sign to you of my return. I said, oh, I almost wanted to cancel the bike. I thought, whoa. Do you want me to cancel it? I mean, is it up to me that you're coming or what? Wait a minute. Put this burden on me. But no, he said, it's my sign to you. I'm coming. He said, don't quit preaching it. Don't quit telling people that I love them. And don't quit telling people that I'm coming. That I'm coming. That I'm coming. And it's time. And I'm coming. Listen, I'd love to tell you what day he's coming and what time. But I can't. I can only tell you that we are in the season of his return. How long is that season? I don't know. Because remember, he said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh that they may have dreams and visions. I didn't like that one part where your old man would have dreams, but you know. And your young man will have visions. I think there was an error in it writing, but praise God. Hallelujah. Now, one more. Does everybody remember when the boat got hit on the side when they sent off this little dinghy boat? Where was it coming from? What was it? Emma? No. Yemen. That's it. This is in the Persian Gulf. About a month prior to that, I was taken in a dream again. And I was on a horse. And I realized I was riding on the ocean. And I'm riding on this horse. And I see this naval battleship or naval ship with a big hole and the steel bent over. So me and the horse ride over there and we go bump it up and we're closing it up, sealing it all up, right? You know, just bumping it up, stopping the thing from sinking. And we start riding again. And all of a sudden, the voice of the Lord come from my right side, and he said, strongly said, will you die for me? And I'm thinking, I said, yes, Lord. I said, yes, Lord, I'll die for you. And the horse took off and went between two destroyers and went right to the Persian Gulf. It began to rain oil, and I began to suffocate, and I woke up. And I know he was talking about United States. About a month after that, that ship, when I saw that ship on TV, I almost fainted. I said, I understand now. I understand. Listen, I don't know why he gave me all these things, but I'm sharing with you what's going on and what season we're in. United States is in trouble. We as the body of Christ need to uphold her. Does everybody understand that? We need to uphold this country. Why? Now listen, I want to go to another place here. Oh, hallelujah. You know, the Word tells us about it's going to be like the days of Noah. You know, the president right now is fighting to prevent gay marriage. Right? The Bible says it's going to be like the days of Noah. Everything is falling into place. We are in the days of Noah. Where unrighteousness, perversion, and everything else is going on. Where judges are, you know, are allowing sexual molesters to walk the streets and cutting them loose in front of their courts. There's a lot of things that are happening. And why is this happening? Because what I share with you about the infiltration from generations brought back from Russia that you think are Americans, and they are Americans, but their purpose is to destroy the United States, have entered into the government, they have entered into the Supreme Courts, and they are not, if you really think about it, they're not doing the will of the people, they're doing their will. They are doing their will, not the will of the people. That's why we must pray daily that God remove them and put his servants in office. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Revelation 6. So when you see the bike, Christ the King bike, you'll know what it represents now. Hallelujah. You won't think that I'm some greedy pastor that just takes everybody's money to make a bike. Don't worry, your money had nothing to do with it. That came from another source. Praise God. In Revelation 6, is everybody there? In verse 1, Would you read it with me? Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was what? Given to him. Now, my daddy doesn't need a crown given to him. This is the Antichrist. And a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. That's what's happening right now, isn't it? Isn't he out trying to conquer? Look at what's going on. They call them terrorists. They're just, all of them are associated with the Antichrist. Their agenda is to destroy Israel and United States. Russia's agenda is to destroy Israel and United States. Does everybody get it? You know, for you and I to know the truth and to be in this land is an honor and a blessing. Just for us to be here. Because we're to reach the world. That was the white horse. What does it represent? It represents war. The white horse here represents war. Oh, hallelujah. And when he opened the second seal, I heard a second living creature saying, "Come and see." And another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that the people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. What was he doing? He was imparting fear. Does everybody understand it? When there's no peace, there's what? Fear. Is that happening? Now, I want to go back to the white horse, because there's something I want to share with you about that. Not only was it a representation of war, but there's something more important. It's a representation of authority, rule, and submission. Why is it that? Because God allowed that white horse to have the power. He allowed that. Amen? He allowed them. So here it is. He's allowing this to happen. The second one, the red horse, is a representation of the impartation of fear, because he removes peace and war. You'll see that these here are connected to war also. Let's go on. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard the voice of the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." What is this? This is famine. Trying to what? Trade for food, but there is none. This is famine. So the first one, the white horse, I'm going to be more specific, represents rule. The second horse, the red horse, represents war. The third horse represents famine. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." And so I looked, behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. This is plagues. This is all associated with Antichrist, isn't it? Has everybody got it? Is God allowing this? Yes. He's the one that's opening the seals, isn't he? He's allowing it. Go to Revelation 12. These are the four, those are the four horsemen. Are we seeing that happen right now? Yes. It just hasn't escalated yet. But it's happening. Look at the AIDS epidemic. There are epidemics right now that are offshoots of polio and stuff that they can't even cure. The only thing they can do is separate the individual until they die. There are so many diseases right now they can't even cure. They have no idea. And they are so concerned. What's that other stuff? Amtrak or Anthrax, Amtrak. That's a train. Don't get on that train, man. Anthrax, whatever. You know, if that was a let go, there's no cure for that either. They can't. Only a certain degree of it. But it would wipe out a country before they can even get it to help people. That's all they do is separate them. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation chapter 12. Is everybody there? Praise God. Starting at verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems in his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now we know this is about Israel, isn't it? But we know this is, well, where's the birth of Christ coming from? Jerusalem. Right? Israel. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God in his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. What's happening right now is you're beginning to see the manifestation of darkness being manifested in the natural realm. They are being removed from the spirit realm. If you look at light coming closer and closer to darkness, it begins to get exposed, doesn't it? In other words, when you shine your flashlight or you turn a light on, you're able to see everything in it. Everything in that room. You're able to see that which was dark now becomes light. It doesn't mean that that has changed. It means that you can see it now. What's happening is time is getting closer and closer. You're seeing more manifestation of darkness because more light is shining. Your light is shining more. Even places you go, you're exposing darkness. And it doesn't matter. It's not about what you're saying or anything. It means the presence and the glory of God that is within you and on you is exposing darkness wherever you're going. That's why some people just get, ooh, I can't stand next to that person. And you know what? You can sense more garbage in other people. But you're not going to go, oh, I can't wait. Thank you. You're going to turn around and bind that foul, unclean thing. All right? And you're going to pray for that person that they may know the truth. So what's happening is they're being more exposed in the natural realm. Does everybody understand that? That's why you're seeing everything happen now. That's why Israel, all of this had to come to its point. Or there had to be war there. There's got to be war there. Praise God. Start now. Let's get it over with and go home. Man, I'm tired of looking at this thing in a mirror. Got to comb your hair every day and stuff, you know. Well, you, some of your women got to put on all your makeup and everything. Aren't you tired of all that yet? I know my wife always says, aren't you glad you're not a girl? Yeah. And of course, I wouldn't know what it would be like, so I mean, hallelujah. In verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast with him. That's slowly coming to pass. Does everybody got it? Then I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a what? Short time. Look at what's going on right now. Even in the parties, the two of them are against each other. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Now, there are believers in both parties. Amen? One is conservative, right? One is liberal, right? One wants to promote death and abortion. One wants to promote gay marriage, right? One wants to sell the United States out. It shouldn't be democratic, it should be demonocratic. Hello. So if you're a Democrat, don't be offended. Just repent, become a Republican. No. It doesn't matter. We're not concerned about Republican or Democrats. We want to be Christ-likes. We want to do what's right before the eyes of God. That's why even some of those who are associated with the strong Democratic Party are coming out and joining other parties or becoming independent. Because they know. And some of them are Jews. Because they know they can no longer support what's going on in their party. Because they know judgment's coming. They know it. It's happening. It's getting closer. And you and I play a very important part in these last days. A very important part. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? I'll go to Revelation 9 while we're here. In verse 6. It says, in those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. God will not allow them to die. Whew. This is great tribulation here. He said, listen, they're going to want to die and God isn't going to allow it. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold and their faces were like faces of men. They had hair like woman's hair and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. Sounds like jets to me. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months, and they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. But in Greek, his name, he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. So we can see that there is even an area right now where there is, it's nuclear powers, jets and so forth. You know, right now Iran holds some nuclear weapons. And they're trying to produce more. But what's happening is, the United States is trying to prevent them from doing it. Look at Korea, North Korea, the same thing. I'm telling you, everybody's weapons are placed towards United States and Israel. We're on the most wanted list. But we can't lose with Christ. You know, it may look like we're losing sometimes, but the ultimate is there's victory. No matter what, there is victory. Go to Joel chapter 2. Every time I see the president of Russia shaking hands with the United States and he hugs them and stuff, and my spirit just goes, liar, liar. Your pants are going to get on fire. You better change your ways soon. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Joel chapter 2 and verse 18. Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive him away into the barren and desolate land with his face toward eastern sea. And his back toward western sea. His stench will come up and his foul odor will rise because he has done monstrous things. Fear not, O Lord, or land. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up. The tree bears its fruit, the fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, that's the church, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully and will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain. In the first month, the threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine. So I will restore you the years, I will restore to you the years the locusts, the swarming locusts have eaten, the crawling locusts and the consuming locusts, the chewing locusts. For my great army which I have sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. Amen. Praise God. And I want to close with Revelation 19. There is much more, but hallelujah. Keep your ears open. Hear what the Spirit says. In verse 11, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. Nobody had to give them to him, did they? He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed with fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. That's me and you. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. That's our commander and chief, and that's our daddy. We are in a tremendous, tremendous time right now. It's phenomenal and overwhelming. Don't be misled. Don't be misled in this time. Don't be deceived, but be led and know the season that you are in right now is an important part for you to play in intercession and surrender and in service. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you prepare our hearts this morning for communion. Hallelujah. And Lord, we repent for every association that we've had with darkness, whether it be by manipulation, by ignorance, stupidity, or just outright rebellion. We ask for your forgiveness. Please, as you are with your people Israel, so shall you be with us. Change us, Master. Change our hearts. And make way that we may be one with you in truth, spirit, and in power. Use our hands to rescue and to touch. Use our lips to speak truth. And use our heart that we may bring compassion and love to those who are in need. Use our homes. Use our money. Use our cars. Use everything that we have because it's all yours. In whatever way you need it to rescue your people. And to you be all the glory, my King. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.